This is a recording of Dr. Tom Rozelle for Sunday, September 2nd, 2018. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WML.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle live in studio, waiting to take your calls on anything you'd like to talk about, as long as it's your health. And you don't ask me how to, you know, what drug is going to work for what. I'll tell you what drugs are going to harm you, but this is your opportunity. 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. Let's talk about you today. I have a lot of things I want to discuss because there's a lot of things in the news, and we'll get to those in a little bit of time. But I want to give you tools that you can implement. You know, we're in the kind of the last portion of the year right now, believe it or not. This is, you know, 2018 and has gone by, and it's Labor Day, and that usually signals the end of summer. Everybody's back in school and in colleges and workplaces and so forth, and a lot of you are out on the beach listening to this, and, you know, we're in the mountains, and we're trying to get that last couple days of respite in before we get back into the last portion going into Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. Did I say that? Yeah, unfortunately I did. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to touch on several different pieces of data and information that you need to have so you can put it away in the memory bank, but more importantly, that you can apply it. I was listening, as I often do. My car is set up for an educational experience. So if you're in the car with me, you're either listening to really good music, and I mean, you know, stuff that doesn't rattle your brain, that actually relaxes you, or you're listening to somebody speak on a topic of some sort, because I'm always throwing different types of media into the car so I can listen and learn and help you as much as I possibly can. So when I'm going through and I'm listening to this guy today, and he was talking about failure. Why would I start this program on the note of failure? Because so many of us talk about failure as irrevocable. It's the end game. We're done. We no longer can move forward. And I've always said that the only time that you have failed in your life is when you have not consistently moved towards an end object, a purpose, a mission, vision, you know, if you will, and you've stopped completely, or you've given up, you've quit. See, failure is only when you quit or when you're dead. And I was listening to this man who was talking about the endpoint graduation, you know, when we finally receive the acknowledgement that we've gotten through this life and we've done all we've done, and that's called death. And so before that, everything else is a lesson. So failure is just an experience that you can apply differently if you have mission and vision and purpose in front of you. So there is no failure until you stop or you're unwilling to take the experience, rework it a little bit, and apply it differently. I'll tell you a little quick story that many of you may have heard about. There's this guy called Colonel Sanders. Everybody knows Kentucky Fried Chicken. And obviously, I am not promoting going out and eating Kentucky Fried for a lot of other reasons. But the Colonel himself, it was an interesting human being in that he retired from the post office. He was a mail carrier. And when he retired, he had this Social Security check or government check, and he looked at it and he says, I can't live on this. So what's a guy to do after spending decades, you know, in service, and now he only has a small income? So he looked around and he tried to figure out something that was valuable in his life. And the only thing that he could think of was he had this chicken recipe that when he had people come over to his house for a gathering, a picnic or whatever, they always raved about his chicken. So he came up with an idea. He said, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and I'm going to approach restaurants and I'm going to give them my chicken recipe. And all I'm going to ask them for is a little piece of the profit above what they're already making because of my chicken recipe. Pretty good idea, right? So he goes to the first restaurant and pitches the guy. And the guy says, get out of here. I got a chicken recipe. And so the guy knew what he wanted and he kept his vision. He kept moving forward and he went again and he got thrown out again. And he went again, and he got thrown out again. But he knew what he wanted, and he kept moving towards his target. And, you know, at about 12 rejections, you and I would have probably looked at our chicken recipe and say, man, maybe it's not so hot, right? It's not the best of the best, as I thought it was. But he knew what he wanted. He had a vision. He knew how he was going to work it, but he kept changing how he applied the approach. So pretty soon, he ended up with 50 rejections. And then 100 rejections. True story, by the way. This is not something that I'm exaggerating on. But he knew what he wanted, and he kept taking his rejection, many of us would say failure, and reapplying it differently. Do you know how many no's he got before he got a yes? Over 1,000. I think that's why they called him Colonel. But nevertheless, he kept moving forward. He knew what he wanted. So how many of us, when we get one failure in life, when it comes to particularly our health, are unwilling to look forward? We get locked in with a set of glasses that keep us looking in only one direction and not opening our vision to do other things. We have to begin to understand that we can change virtually anything if we apply the lesson differently. See, as long as you're breathing, and as long as you have capacity, your body will continue to change and repair itself. But if you keep doing the same thing over and over again without changing the approach that you take to your body and the fitness and the well-being that you were given as part of your birthright by your creator, then you don't get anything more than what you got now. See, your body begins to change every day. Why? Because you're going to destroy cells and replace cells, destroy cells and replace cells. So subsequently, over a period of 3 to 5 years, the human that you're looking at in the mirror right now is dead. Why? Because every cell in your body will have died and replaced itself with another cell. And we know today from the study of epigenetics, means everything that is around you stimulates everything that's inside of you, that those are the things that allow the genetic expression, the gene trait, the cells of your body to adapt, to change, to modify, to be better in some situations, in some situations be much worse. So if you change nothing 3 to 5 years from now and you keep doing the same old, guess what you get? More of the same, except at a higher level, worse, if you will. If you recognize that epigenetic patterns are modifiable and they can be applicable to the body's expression of health and wellness, then 3 to 5 years from now, you get to be a whole different person. You get to be brand new. You get to be better. Think about that for a second. Are you giving up already, or are you ready to make some changes and moving things in a different direction? Well, I would encourage you, and that's why we do this program. That's why we do Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, to give you the idea that there are other things that you can do to make a difference. Let's talk about your body a little bit today. And, you know, it's why am I on a roll? It's Labor Day. You should be out there relaxing and so forth. But I want to give you pieces of application that are important and in education that you can take and run with it. You know, when I wrote my book several years back, Ageless Health, Health is a Do-It-Yourself Program, by the way, still available online, or through our website at rozellecare.com, I did it for you. I did it because your health is in your hands. Your resiliency, if you will, your expansion is nothing more than who you are internally, but you have to make some decisions that you're willing to make some changes. If you're not, or if you dabble a little bit, well, you get some changes and you're probably just going to put off the inevitable, but you're putting it off maybe at a lower level, but it's still going to bite you. See, you're supposed to come in this world with a very bright, explosive light, and you're supposed to live the years strongly, and then at the end, you're just supposed to snuff out. You're supposed to go away. But unfortunately, if you go through nursing homes, and you look at many of our elderly that are living even in our own houses, we begin to notice that they're not doing that, that there's something that has taken place over time that allows that wax to wane and just kind of ebb and flow. And then the light becomes dimmer, and then pretty soon it kind of sputters out. It doesn't just go out. So what can we do about it? What are the things, what are the steps that we can take to make a difference? You know, your body is awesome, right? And when we go out and we look at things and we smell the flowers, smell the roses, and we breathe deeply. You know, is that just kind of a metaphor of, you know, this is how we make ourselves, you know, feel better? Well, actually, there's some really specific applications of smelling the roses or smelling the flowers. Even when you have people in the hospital, you know, you have a relative or a friend and so forth, instead of a card, send them flowers. Well, it's a waste of money. They're going to be home pretty soon. Well, you know, not really, because there's study after study after study that has been done on people who've had surgery in hospitals. And what they've done, they divided them up into a couple different groups of people. And people who had a lot of flowers in their rooms and people who had nothing except maybe a few cards, somebody sent them a balloon and so forth. And guess what they noticed? People who have flowers in their rooms need far less medication and recover faster than people who have nothing that is blooming fresh in their room. Study after study. How about in the workplace? Do you walk into this little sterile atmosphere? Well, guess what? If you have plants in the workplace, they've been tied, and again, to many studies, not just one or two, to increase cognitive performance and increase energy. A green plant takes your CO2, your carbon dioxide, and exchanges it and produces something you need. It's called oxygen. And so it upregulates how you feel. Instead of that stuffy, I want to go to sleep, I can't stand being here, the fluorescent lights over the head are putting me out. So you have to understand that you have control. So all these small studies, these research pieces, you know, that indicate that those who, you know, expose themselves to this have healthier lifestyles. Well, get outside today. Go for a walk. You know, don't get in the car. Get out. Just go out someplace where it's green and it's lovely and the blossoms are out there and stimulate your body's immune system. You know, and guess what? You're going to lower your stress just by looking at something differently. Your depression's going to go away. Your anxiety level's going to dumb down a little bit. And don't listen to the crazy talking heads. I know we live in Washington and, you know, we're inundated with it on a constant basis. But how about doing what I do? Turn your car into a learning laboratory or something that you can really enjoy the music, the meditation and the like. There's a lot of books out there. There's things that you should read ongoing. There's things that you should, you know, put in position. Many different ways of doing this. You have to balance it for you. I'm not saying that you should focus in one area or the other. What I'm saying is that you have to give yourself some significant options. And when you're going out, exercise. A patient of mine the other day asked me, he said, well, I don't have time and I have to stay home and I can't get out of the house and how can I exercise? I said, use your house as an exercise environment. There's a program they used to do years ago. It's called Athletes in Industry. And it was a study that was done by Japanese culture where they used to get people together in groups about 15 minutes before they started the day. And it was mandatory. And they broke it up into groups of maybe 5 to 10 people. And they had one leader, and the leader changed periodically. And they led them in very gentle motion, you know, almost like Tai Chi types of things, and breathing prior to their starting the workday. And guess what they found? They found that after 6 months of doing this, and they initiated the program, when they went back and looked at it again, that people that were doing this, these companies that they had implemented this in, had 70% fewer on-the-job accidents, because the first 2 hours of the workday is when the highest accident rates occur in industry. Why? Because you're comatose, you don't eat, you just go to work, you wake up on the job and you're chopping fingers off, or you're hurting yourself in many different ways. So if you take the opportunity to use your house to stretch, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that because I think it's important, and there are things that you can do so very easily if you just build it into your daily routine. It doesn't take a lot of time. It just takes a commitment on your part to change something other than what you're doing right now. We're coming up to a break. It is Labor Day, and hopefully you're out there celebrating and relaxing. And I'm not sure why they call it Labor Day. Yes, I do, actually. But nevertheless, I'm hoping you're having a great time today. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I'm in studio on this beautiful Labor Day. And keep me company. Give me a call. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. We're going to talk a little bit more about athletes in your home, kind of a spinoff of the program I used to do with athletes in industry. But meanwhile, Charlene, you've been very patient. How can I help you?
Oh, doctor, I love your program. Thanks for it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Listen, I have spinal stenosis. It's very severe and it's painful. And I'm getting the shots, although they're not seeming to help me. And I want to know if you recommend acupuncture.
Okay.
Or could you address spinal stenosis, please?
Okay. So, yes, I will. And so let me ask you a couple quick questions. First of all, the shots that you're getting, I'm sure that they're steroidal in nature. The problem with steroids is it makes it worse over time. It decreases increases the inflammatory reaction, but then it kicks in and it kind of spins on itself. Now, spinal stenosis, there's several different pieces of it. There's where you get a narrowing of the disc space without a lot of destruction of the bone around it. Then you have the ones that you, a combination of things. You can get scar tissue within it. You can get calcium infiltration. So it's a combination of things, but they all come about generally from an initial piece. The spine has been injured. It's out of position. It's out of alignment. The motion within the joint space is not normal. And then you begin to see hardening and decrease in height of the disc space. And then superimpose. Remember, we're talking about structural, chemical, and then sometimes emotional patterns. So the biochemistry, anything that in the body that you eat that causes the body to be more acidic than it is alkaline will increase the advancement of spinal stenosis very rapidly. So, for an example, my mantra, sugar, sodas, coffee, black teas, fast foods, fried foods, alcohol, gluten, additives, preservatives, GMO products, all of those things are highly acidic forming, and they will increase the risk, but it will increase the perpetuation of a stenotic pattern. So, can it be changed? Can you do a lot of things with it? Yes. Generally, what we see is that you've got to address it multidimensionally. You've got to look at the biochemistry, because if you don't change the chemical structure, no matter what you do to the system, it's not going to repair itself. Can it help? Can it make, decrease the pain and so forth? Yes, absolutely. But it's not going to restore, repair it. So you have to look at it from that point of view. Acupuncture, low energy light laser, gentle spinal manipulation, what we call Y-axis decompression, begins to open the joint spaces gently, increase the circulatory pattern to the disc spaces, repair the tissue through a low-energy light laser, and then you add the nutritional pieces on top of that based on the person's individual needs. But yes, unfortunately, we treat way too many people with this condition. Fortunately, if the patient does what they need to do, a lot of help can come about as a result of that. Happy to have somebody talk to you. All you need to do is give our office a call and ask our reception to have one of our doctors give you a jingle, and they'll handle the problem for you on an individual basis. And just give, you have no obligation. Just talk to them. You can take advantage of it. Charlene, I appreciate your phone call. Thank you for calling. But the short answer I want to leave you with is yes, there's a lot that can be done relative to stenotic patterns, but you have to know how it started, what the underlying, and again, a lot of these things come about because of biochemical imbalances in today's world, bioelectrical, superimposed upon a body that mechanically is not working the way it's supposed to, either that it's been an old injury that we've put up with or drugs that we put into our system. There's so many medications that we put into the body that enhance the problem. I'll give you a couple of them. Statins. How many of you are on cholesterol-lowering medications? Most of them, by the way, you don't need them. And I'll go back and I'll quote again an old report that was put in the New England Journal of Medicine. Now it goes back about 5-6 years ago, and it simply said, and they did a huge study on men, this is a male pattern, that if you give a statin to 100 guys every day for 5 years, it'll prevent one heart attack, just one. So that tells you something, that we have to look a little differently for the answers of the things that we're just throwing things at because they have side effects. Well, what's a side effect with a statin? Muscle ache, because it takes things out of the muscular system. One of them is CoQ10. It also destroys your brain. It also increases your risk of certain types of cancers, increases your inflammatory response in the body. We've talked about aspirin. How many people take an NSAID, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory? That causes problems in of itself for similar reasons, but also causes bleeding to this issue. Now, you got rupture of the tissue also increases your risk of heart attack and strokes, which supposedly is trying to stop. So you really have to look at it multidimensionally. You've got to look at it structurally. Were there injuries? Were there is the body out of shape? Is it doesn't have any muscle tone? Do the joints themselves, the vertebrae, the hips, and are they moving the way they're supposed to? We call them spinal subluxations if they're locked in a off-centering position. The osteopaths call it a spinal lesion, but it's not normal, and you've got to get the muscle patterns to work the way they're supposed to. 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you on any subject that you have in mind. I'm here for you today on this wonderful Labor Day, and it's actually a pretty decent day, so make sure after you listen to the program that you get outside and, you know, have some fun today. I'm going to do it. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. It's Labor Day. It's the closing down of the summer, so make sure you get out there and have some fun today, even though that, you know, we still have some very decent weather, I hope, coming up. And then we get into, you know, that other time of the year we don't want to talk about. But hopefully the weather stays north of us, you know, in December, January, February, and it doesn't come down to this area. But nevertheless, we will deal what we have to deal with because you're going to get stronger, right? You're going to get healthier, and you're going to do all the things that I've asked you to do, and you're going to go out and buy my book, Ageless Health. Health is a do-it-yourself program. Robert, how can I help you? Thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you very much. I just want to tell you, you're great, and my health is perfect thanks to you, and I've got your book, and blah, blah, blah.
Well, thank
Listen,
you.
I've got a friend who's elderly. She's 86 years old. She has Sjogren's syndrome. What's your take on that? Is there any cure, anything, you know?
Yes. So Sjogren's, as you know, is an autoimmune problem. And it's cousin to things like rheumatoid and lupus and, you know, other types of depressed immune functions. Now, it happens over a period of time, and unfortunately I've treated way too many of them, but they can be turned around successfully. And the majority of them are women, almost 85 to 90%, does happen
right.
to guys.
Women. Yeah.
And it has to do with connective tissue problem in the body. Again, very similar to other things. Scleroderma.
Yeah, all her joints, replaced, shoulders and everything.
Yeah.
But she tries to keep up her health. She goes to water aerobics and stuff like that.
So, at her age, to do it properly, can things be turned around? Yes. So here's the deal. I can give you, clinical story after clinical story. I'll give you one very quick one because if you talk to one of my top people in my practice who came in to see me about 17 and a half years ago, 18, coming up 18 years, she was suffering with Sjogren's to the extent that her body was, her doctor told her she had less than 5 years. And that's how advanced it got. But given who she was and what she was doing in those days, it was a huge stress pattern. It was a dietary pattern. It was biochemical and so forth. And she had a lot of different types of inoculations and injections, and stress was over the top, and we can go on forever. But having said that, she was on a list of medications that made most pharmacies blush. So we started treating her from a platform of restoring normal function and gastrointestinal problems and detoxifying the body. And we used a combination approach of acupuncture and nutrition and supplementation and manipulation and so forth. And she was told, and this was a younger woman at the time, she was in her 30s, and they told her that if she ever got pregnant during that time, that she would die during the pregnancy, because it was very typical of Sjogren's in a young woman that she would go into kidney failure either during the pregnancy or afterwards. Anyway, short end, and I'm giving you that one because it's a significant case, and it turned around completely. I've had many others over the years, again, over, you know, 4 decades of looking at people. When they come in with these conditions, whether it's a Sjogren's problem or whether it's any other autoimmune condition, you have to ask the question, why something has happened. Where did it start? What was the triggering mechanisms? And then you have to treat it not just symptomologically, you know, palliatively take care of the patient. You have to look across the board. I mean, Sjogren's patients have dry eyes and,
right.
you know, so you have to, you know, find out what the mechanism is. Usually the adrenal system, liver, and intestinal tract are the culprits. And you have to support that. You have to take away the things that are irritating. You have to turn back on the energetic platform. You upregulate, you know, the body. And you see amazing resolution over a period of time if the patient will do what needs to be done. So the short answer is yes, lots can be done. It is truly a partnership between the practitioner and the patient, and it has to be treated multidimensionally, and it has to be treated multidimensionally at one time.
One thing, she when I was talking to her, she her doctor never recommended vitamin D. She was taking it on her own over the counter, and I told her the importance that the Sjogren's Foundation said there was a correlation between vitamin D, and they haven't established that.
Well, vitamin D is so essential in so many different conditions. So, you know, think about that. We live like cave rats, right? We leave our house, we go inside, we go to a mall, we go to work,
and we
rarely get outside anymore. And, you know, then they tell us, well, make sure that you cover up if you're outside, put all kinds of sunblock on. Well, that stops the vitamin D stimulation as well.
Right.
And then we eat certain types of foods and stress levels that pull it off. But the problem is that if we don't have enough vitamin D, we increase our risk of cancers and autoimmune conditions and arthritis and degenerative conditions across the board. So vitamin D is critical.
Her level, excuse me, is 56. And I know the range is between 30 and 100. And they said, I read something that it's always good to up your vitamin D levels. So if you have up to 100.
Well, you don't want to go too high. So here's the catch 22 on vitamin D. You got to keep it within a range. Now, even in the functional medicine model, 50 or less is considered insufficient. 32 or less is highly deficient.
Huh.
So she's above the level that, you know, is going to put her at huge risk. But if we want to stimulate the immunological reaction, it has to be in the neighborhood of about 75. 78, 80, and through there, that's your target. But you also have to figure out if you're supplementing quite a bit of vitamin D and you're not getting the levels up, then there's a reason, there's another piece that you have to look at. And you have to make sure it's a natural form of vitamin D. Not all vitamin Ds are created equally. The medical model, when they see something, is that they put in about 50,000 units, you know, on a weekly basis. They get the levels up and say, oh, you're fine now, and they take it out. Well, the D drops again like a rock, but they're using disifferol, which is D2, not D3. And it serves to actually cause other problems within the body. So you want to give enough vitamin D to maintain an equilibrium, and you keep using it, but you need to check it. Some people, they're in soy base. Sometimes you want to give soy. Sometimes, you know, you want to give a hard supplement. Sometimes you want to use an emulsion, something that is like a mucus carrier to bring this thing in. It's for a lot of different reasons. We could spend the whole program talking about how to get it in the body.
D2
is D2 is the synthetic form, and you don't want to ever give D2. You want to give D3.
I get it over the counter, you know, and it's D3.
You got to be careful again. You got to be careful of the manufacturer, Bob. But listen, you know, if we can send the office a note, and if we can be helpful, more than helpful, to get it done, I really, really appreciate your phone call. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Let's talk a little bit about our athlete, you know, you, me, you know, in our houses and so forth. Patient asked me, hey, doc, you know, I can't get out. I can't go. I can't. Well, you can use your house as your gym. You can use your house and your gym. Well, it's difficult for me to even get out of a chair. That's the exercise you start with, is you keep getting up and down, up and down, up and down. You use that as your exercise. So if it's difficult for you to go from a sitting to a standing position, then you do that sitting to standing position 30 times during the day. And you do a few of them now, you do a few of them later. Those of you who want to have some fun and can get down on your hands and knees, walk on your hands and knees and crawl up the stairs on your hands and knees up to your bedroom. And you can, you know, why does that work? How come, you know, to crawl up almost like you're on a hill, right? You have to lift your knees and your feet, and you've got to plant your foot. You start moving, you know, once you get, and then you go back down the other way. You can go up and you can go down. Yeah, it sounds silly, but guess what? That's exercise. You can make that happen. So if it's difficult for you to stand, you know, and walk because your hip hurts or whatever, you may find it much more accommodating to be able to just crawl around a little, like a little child. Have you ever seen a child? They crawl first, right? What they're doing is they're integrating their entire neurological system, and their brain and their body now starts working at a very, very high level. Get a couple pillows, you know, two bed pillows, put them on top of each other. Here is your balance beam. This is your BOSU ball. And stand on the pillows and just step in place. You're not going to run. You're not going to march. You're just going to lift your feet up and down. That irregular platform of your pillows will stimulate the long tracts of your spinal cord, stimulating balance and improving your balance, particularly if you're a little older or, you know, you don't, you know, your balance is horrible. Get that done. Lie flat on the floor. Get on the floor. Lie on your back. Well, I can't get up. Yes, you can. I'll tell you how to do it in just a second. Lie flat on your back. And then as you're lying on your back, pull a knee up toward your chest as best you can and then put it back down. Pull another knee up to your chest and get it down. And then turn over on your stomach and push yourself back up to your knees with your hands. So you don't have to try to pull yourself up or do a sit-up. Just roll over. It's difficult. That's why you should be doing it. So anything that's hard for you to do is what you should be doing. Get against the wall and move your feet about 3 feet away from the wall and put your hands against the wall and do push-ups on the wall. You don't have to get on the ground. You don't have to do anything on a slant. You can just do it on the door. You know, put your hands on either side of a door frame and then step into the door so you stretch out your shoulders and so forth. You can use a lot of different things in your house as your environment, your exercise environment. It's important to look to see the little things you can do. Go for a walk. You don't have to walk. Go, you know, 10 miles or 5 miles or 3 miles. You remember what I've said, 2 miles a day, 50% less probability of dying of a disease process. Did I say anything about doing it all at once? You can do it throughout the day. Just make sure you're walking for 2 miles. And do things of that nature. A little bit here, a little bit there. I don't care if it's 100 yards. A little bit here, a little bit there. Let's go to the phones. Diane, how can I help you?
Hi. I just have some questions. You know, I have ulcerative colitis, and I just wanted to kind of get some feedback. For a long time, I wasn't really taking any medicine, and I was just kind of dealing with it and stuff because I was trying to avoid the medication. And so now I'm in a study with Entyvio. Because I kind of felt like I had to do something, nothing.
So let me ask you a couple quick questions. Dan, how old are you?
50.
Okay, how long have you had the ulcerative colitis?
Since I was in my early 20s.
Okay, how many bowel movements do you have a day?
It could be between 5 to 10.
Okay, and they're all bloody?
Sometimes, yes.
Okay, so... tell me what you've done besides medication to try to help yourself.
I really, really haven't been doing much of anything, just tolerating it, I guess.
Okay, so let me tell you from 40 years plus of experience, there's a tremendous amount that you can do to turn this around. And we deal with it all the time. Here's where the real structural, chemical, emotional platform come into play when it comes to this type of situation. You have an intestinal tract that is now beat up. It's irritated. Saying it's permeable is being very gentle. Permeable means that it's like a colander, a sieve, that you've got big holes and irritations and so forth, and your body's becoming more sensitive to everything. You have to begin to upregulate the immune system. You need to get rid of the things that are causing the irritation to begin with. Two of the most common things, and we're not even into the emotional piece yet, two of the most common things that cause ulcerative colitis are grains of any kind and dairy products. And if you eliminate them 100%, and then you do things like beef broths and so forth, organic beef broths, you go into a process of beginning to heal that intestinal system. Then we'll look at inoculations and vaccines and the accumulation of heavy metals and toxins that have worked their way into the tissue and get rid of. Sometimes there's a hyper irritability, if you will, of the nerves that go to the bowel. Now we can take it to the Asian connection as well. And if you've listened to the program, you've heard me say that every organ in the body has an emotion that's associated with it. Well, and they also, every organ has a a positive-negative attachment to another organ. So in the case of the large intestine, the lung is its cooperating partner. The lung is yin, the large intestine, the colon is yang. And so what does that have to do with anything? Well, the emotion for the lung is unresolved grief. So it can go back years and years and years. So if there was any issue, now you don't have to have a lung problem. You can have a colon problem. People who were smokers at one point, well, you're going to get lung cancer. Not necessarily. You can end up with colon cancer instead. So you have that cooperative piece. So ulcerative colitis is a multidimensional process. You have to look at all the pieces that we talked about and more. You looked at good bacteria, bad bacteria. You have to have a good microbiome. That means that the bacteria that exists to give you a good immunological support has to be optimized, and the bad guys that are in there have to be eliminated. But you also have to turn the system back on. So we get rid of metals, we get rid of toxins, we see if there's any embedded parasites. 60% of the U.S. population has parasites, by the way. And so little guys or big guys or all kinds of stuff that live in our intestinal system. And so you have to deal with that. Then once you remove irritating elements, and now good foods can become extremely bad, and you have to eliminate those. And then you begin to heal the tissue slowly, upregulating energetic platforms, balancing the emotional patterns, and you can do this without drugs. So, Diane, what I'm saying to you is that you've suffered way too long. Medication is not the root. There's a lot that can be done extremely successfully by looking at how the body interrelates to itself. And if we can be of help to you, please, please, please reach out. And you know where I would start? I would even start with, you can start with any of our doctors because they know exactly what they're doing when it comes to stuff. Or you can go to our nutrition department and you can talk to Sue. Sue will help you through as well. She's extremely knowledgeable and she'll point you in the direction of the people that you need to see and who you need to touch with within our practice. But you can do something. It's time to get your life back. It's time to do something other than what you've been doing that has failed. You know, you deserve to have that body that you were given, and it can be resolved. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Now, we're touching on a lot of different things today that I think that are extremely important. And everything that we've talked about today, everything we've talked about from Sjogren's to stenosis to our patient with ulcerative colitis, all of these are functional conditions that can be resolved if the approach is proper and not just dumbed down taking medication, but it has to be a multidimensional platform. Trust me, this can be done. We're coming up to a break, and, you know, again, it's Labor Day, and I'm glad that you're all out there listening to the program, and hopefully that I can make a difference in your life moving forward in the last 4 months that we have in 2018. So much has happened, and so much is coming down the pike, and I need 4 hours. I'll be right back. Don't go away.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. If you're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell live in studio, it's been a very interesting Labor Day show. I always love talking to you and trying to help you out and putting you in directions that you need to go. You know, the bottom line is this. Look, your body was designed to heal itself. Your body was designed to turn itself around and, you know, provide that you give it the opportunity. If you don't stop, you know, if you don't quit beating it up, it has only one other thing it can do. It's called heal. And, you know, what concept, right? Do you think that we were made with a body that was supposed to degradate and you know, be destroyed little pieces of time? No, we do that to ourselves by the choices that we make about our health. And unfortunately, choices sometimes are no choices, meaning that you know you need to do something, but you just don't do it. You don't take the step. You don't make it happen. And that's the unfortunate decision that we make. So that is a choice. And you end up reaping the end products, the consequences of that stuff. So, you know, we have to begin to reassess. We have to look at, and that's why we do the program. And we have the pleasure, and I have the privilege of serving so many of you throughout the country, and I get emails and text messages all the time. Sometimes it takes me a while to get back to you because we have so many different opportunities to serve you. But nevertheless, that's why we continue doing what we do. We're coming up to that time of the year where, you know, the fall mold, pollens, and so forth are there. And you can begin to change all kinds of things. And unfortunately, we don't take the action steps that we need to take. I'm not sure why that is. I'm not sure why we make those, you know, it's, if I do this, what, because you're going to lose your friends? Or if I do this, people aren't going to like you? Or if I do this, they're going to think you're weird and you're different? So the choice becomes, do you want to be well? It might be okay to be weird and different. It might be okay to make choices that are more supportive of what your body is craving for. And it's because truly, you know, if you move through the years and you continue doing what you do, there's an end game. There's a place where the straw will break the camel's back and you're going to fall apart. I have a patient that came in and has all kinds of very significant problems. And unfortunately, she's ended up with a cancer that is a very rare cancer. And I found out that there was a very direct correlation to some of the things that she's been exposed to and doing, but nobody picked up on it. Nobody had the decency of telling her that these medications that she was on long before she came to see us was one of the triggering mechanisms. Nobody told her some of the chemical exposures that she had for over 20 years was going to put in lead and mercury and things of that nature into her body. And she was absorbing these things. And subsequently now a young woman is fighting for her life and has had multiple surgeries. When is enough enough? When is it that we finally say, listen, you know, we have to act on our own self-interest. We have to stop believing the talking heads in the Fifth Avenue marketing. Just because it's written, it isn't. So you need to log on to our Facebook. Either go to RoselleCare, you know, .com and click on, go to our Facebook and, you know, be a friend on our Facebook and you'll get all kinds of data ongoingly. You can go to mine, go to, you know, Tom Roselle or our Thomas Roselle, go to my Facebook. We're always publishing things or come into the office for our in-house continuing education programs that we do every other week on many different topics. I apologize. I've left a couple of you online and I just don't have the time to get you on this program, but send us a note and we'll try to make it happen. Go to RoselleCare, RoselleCare, RoselleCare.com. Check out the website. We have a lot of things specifically there to educate you. We're coming up. Adieu. I love you. See you next week. Bye.